I am a little bit surprised after all the announcement was made. You had fair warning, but I do appreciate all of you being here. Those who are visiting, we appreciate you most of all and beg your forbearance. As the reading talked about, our relationship with God, our relationship one to another, and together. So, as we talk to one another, I'm going to talk to you as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. When I asked the other elders if I might speak, I've been preparing for a class that begins in September on one another Christianity. And because of the situation, the things that are developing in our congregation, I determined we couldn't wait. Some of these things need to be said now. This phrase, one another, is used 58 times in New Testament Scripture. And in the term itself, alion, if I got that correctly, is used 76 times in the New Testament. That tells me that our relationship to one another is very important to God. It should be important to us if it's important to God. Also, as we look at these 58 statements, all of them are commands. There's none of them are optional. They all talk about our relationship to one another is of God ordered. And as Jeff has read, love one another as I have loved you, so also you ought to love one another. You are all children of God, children of God, and you're aware what God has done for you, how much Jesus loved you. I don't have to tell you that Jesus came to this earth, gave up heaven, and came to earth and died for us. Died that we might have a hope of eternal life. That's love. That's sacrificial love. And he said, as I have loved you, this is the same relationship you ought to have one for another, because I have loved you. In Romans 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Puts it down on the table. You can understand that. While we were still sinners, we were enemies of God. We were separated from God. We were alienated from God. But God loved us. Let us consider our relationship one to another. Are we loving one another as God has loved us? Are we sometimes alienated one from another? And what alienates us? We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about sin or righteousness. We're talking about sometimes we allow opinions to separate us. We allow our feelings, our justification of self, to separate us from one another. And brethren, this ought not to be. You remember, as I well remember, my attitude before I become a child of God. Do you remember yours? When I was alienated from God, when I was an enemy of God, I remember I had no regard for the Word of God. I was only interested in pleasing self, doing those things which pleased me. Now, I'm not saying I was an outlaw. I was not saying I was a dreg on community. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I had good standing in the community. I was well regarded by those of the world, those who were not children of God. But the fact was, I was separated from God. I was trying to please myself. And as I looked at this statement where it said, God, love one another as I have loved you, how does God express His love for us? As we examine the character of God and look at what God is, His character, He loves us. He is merciful to us. He's kind. He's patient. He's forgiving. And we talk about ourselves, if we're going to be godly, are these the characteristics that should define our lives? Being patient, forgiving one another, loving one another, being kind to one another. Because this is what defines God's love for us. This is how God expresses His love for us. As I remember, prior to my becoming a child of God, I remember someone loved me enough, even though I was not related to him, I was not even well received by him. Someone loved me enough to tell me about God's Word, to teach me, even point out, showing to me what my future looked like without God. Very expressly pointing out that I was separated from God. My future, my eternity was rather dim. That's love for one another. That's what God says is expression of love. And I have to admit, I was not well. I did not receive it well. I mean, I was a little bit insulted by it. And it took me a while to admit that that did define me. That did took a while for it to penetrate my heart, to penetrate my mind, that I recognized what my relationship was to God. In 1 John 4, verse 11, says, if God so loved you, we ought to love one another. Somebody loved me enough to tell me about God. We are all children of God. We all have that responsibility to teach and to tell others about God. Actually, as that one person talked to me, it wasn't long before I realized there was a number of people that desired to see me become a child of God. That I realized when they talked to me that part of me was going to live eternally someplace. I was either going to live in heaven with God or I was going to live in hell. You know, it takes a while for it to penetrate a hard head. But when you're mindful of that, that kind of gets your attention. And I become concerned about my relationship with God. So I studied the Word of God. God loved me enough to give me a Word that would guide my steps. And as I become more familiar with the Word of God and studied the Word of God, I realized within that Word, I would find hope. I would find those things which would give me contentment and peace and spirit. Again, that's a gift from God. God is good. God loves me. He gives me these great gifts that I can get no place else. This is how God shows His love for us. How do we show our love for one another? Those things which God showed me have eternal value. They'll never die. They'll live forever. And the way we show this love one for another, our relationship should be one that would never die. Our relationship, one to another, should be eternal because we'll desire to spend eternity in heaven together. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven with the brothers and sisters in Christ? That's what we all desire to do. Can we get there without showing love one for another as God has loved us? We need to be mindful of what God has charged us with. Romans 13, verse 7, another one of those statements says, respect one another. How do you show respect for others? How do you show respect for your mother and your father? You give them honor, don't you? You're kind and considerate toward them. You listen to them. You listen to what they have to say. You're respectful in your attitude toward them. This is a command. We're to respect one another. We can't be divided and show our respect one for another. And there is division among us. This is not what God plans for us. This will not make us a productive family of God. We need to be mindful how these things are developing in this congregation and need to cut these things off. We're mindful. We all have different personalities. We have different opinions about a lot of different things. I look out among us and I see we have Kentucky Cat fans. We have Louisville Cardinal fans. We have Richard. And we have, among us, we have Democrats, we have Republicans, we have Independents. We have golfers and hunters. And we have a myriad of things we use, multitude of things we enjoy, a lot of things that we spend our time with. But these things are all temporal. None of these things are eternal. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another is eternal. It will last forever. We need to be mindful that we're not a physical family, but we are a spiritual family. We're a family of God. And as such, we're brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. Jesus is our brother in Christ. We're His family. We need to be mindful and esteem one another. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5, a passage that I have to admit I turn to a lot of times when I become irritated and frustrated with my brothers. I turn to this passage, and it gives me comfort, and it gives me a new perspective. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. Have we thought about that term? Have we thought about what that says? That has so many things that we need to be mindful of. So many things that we're to look out for others' interests rather than our own. We're not to do things of rivalry or contention. We're not to do things that are self-determined. Be mindful of others. Be considerate of others. Again, I'm not talking about those things which separate us doctrinally. I'm talking about those things about which we have strong opinions and allow these things to separate us and we conduct ourselves in such a way that's not God-like. It's not like the child of God. When we treat others with disdain or less than what God has commanded when He said we are to esteem one another. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel. With one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel. How are we going to reach out and convert others? How are we going to be an influence in this community if we don't get along, if we're striving against one another, how are we ever going to convert anybody else? These things are troubling. And these things weigh on my mind, and I would like to think they are troubling you. We cannot be a faithful family of God if there's alienation among us. If we are allowing things to separate us from one another, again, I'm talking about opinions, I'm talking about things of self-interest, self-justification. And don't tell me these aren't among us. These things are among us. And we need to be mindful of them, and we need to examine ourselves to see if these things are part of your life, because these things are separating us. These things ought not to be. We are brothers. We're family of God. We need to be an example to the world, not like these things are. Ephesians, 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Walk in the manner in which you are called. How were you called? Were you called in contention? Were you called in division? Were you called in unity of the Spirit? Were you called to be gentle and kind one to another, to seek others' welfare, to seek those things which are good for others, to be kind, to be considerate, forbearing one another, long-suffering with one another? I understand we're not all easy to get along with. I understand that. But it says we're to bear with one another in love. I'd like to read that again. I'd like to read that again because that will solve so many of our problems. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Do you agree with me? This would solve a lot of problems in the world. But I'm concerned about the problems in this church. I'm concerned about those things which draw us apart rather than draw us together. I'm concerned about those things. I'm looking for answers. I know they're in here. I think that's one of them. One of the answers that we have. But these characteristics that we see in the Word of God, we need to add those to our lives. We need to be objective when we look at ourselves and say, am I exhibiting something less than this? Am I separated from my brothers by something that is my opinion? Or am I separated by something that I hold value in that's not eternal? We need to be mindful. Bear one another in love. Now, I understand working together sometimes means some sacrifice of yourself. Sometimes you have to give up something of yourself to be able to work together with others. It can always be one way. It has to be working together, sometimes a giving of self. We have to give up some of our opinions for the sake of unity. We understand that when we're working on a job, when we're working in a plant, or working in a business, we understand everything's not your way. But sometimes we have to work together for unity to accomplish our goal. But in the church, unity means working for the good of all of us. Working to establish peace in the family of God. Again, I'm not talking about sacrificing doctrine. I'm not talking about giving up those things which are true and just. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about some of our opinions. We need to take a look at those things to adjust our lives in harmony with those things which are right, which are just, which are beneficial for the kingdom. That's what we're striving for. To benefit the kingdom, not you, not me, but the kingdom of God. I recognize the fact that there are events in families that cause disruption in peace. I'm talking about physical families. We all recognize the fact that sometimes things arise that cause us to be a little separated from one another. There's a lack of peace or unity in the family. I recognize the fact that we have different personalities. Maybe even some of us may be called quirky. I may be called a little quirky from time to time. It doesn't bother me. My personality and yours are different. And I look about us, some of us might be called teddy bears. And there may be some of us that are called porcupines. Be mindful. We don't draw near all of them, but God loves us all. And we are all to love God and we're to love one another as God has loved us. Romans 15, verse 7 says, receive one another as Christ has received you. Yep, Christ has received all the porcupines just like he received the teddy bears. He's gathered us all together. God has received us with all our different personalities, with all our different quirks, with all the different ideas that we have. If we're seeking to serve God, God has received us. And we are to work together. So we need to be objective. I'm not calling upon you to look across the aisle and say, I know he's guilty of all that he said. He needs to do something. I'm asking you to be objective. I'm asking you to look at self. As I look at myself, see, am I contributing to the problems or am I trying to solve the problems? I'm not a solution by myself. I cannot be a solution by myself. We all need to draw together. We all have our different personalities. We all have different ideas and concepts. But we need to be objective in these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 tells us, examine yourself to see whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not realize this about yourself, that Christ is in you unless you fail to meet the test. We need to be self-examiners. We need to look at self closely and objectively. It's difficult, isn't it? I think a lot of me. I think a lot of my opinions. I make a lot of my judgment. But I need to be mindful. The Word of God does not always agree with me. The Word of God does not say that I'm always right. The Word of God says God is right. And God has given us a direction, words to guide our steps. And God loves us. So He hasn't told us anything that is objectionable. We tell ourselves some things that are objectionable. We need to be mindful. God says, love one another as God has loved us. Romans 14, 13 says, do not judge one another anymore. Do not put a stumbling block or cause a brother to fall. Has your attitude caused a brother to stumble? Have you caused separation between you and someone else because of your judging someone else? God judges us all. Our judgment should be in harmony with the Word of God, not separated from that, and not one that would separate us one from another. We need to be mindful. James 4:11 says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. You know, James deals with brethren. Uses the subject over and over again, addressing brethren, because It's addressed to individuals. It's addressed to us as individual Christians. And it says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Do we speak evil of one another? Do we put them down? Do we say things about others that maybe we do not have basis for? Do we say things about one another that we really cannot be assured of? If you have something against a brother, don't speak evil of him. Go to him and settle the problem between you and he. That's what the Word of God says we are to do. Not to speak evil of him, not to run him down, not to say things that would, characterize him as an evil person. So to be, don't speak evil of one another. Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another. Serve one another. What does that mean? Are we looking out again for others' benefits? Are we looking out to help a brother grow and develop as a child of God? If you see something in a brother that is hindering him, do you point that out to him kindly? Do you talk to him about how he can correct those things which are in his life? We're to serve one another. Now, I'm not going to go through all one another passages in case y'all are starting to worry. I was only up to about 6. And there's another 52. But I'm not going to address all those. I'm just addressing these, I think, will help us as we seek to draw together, draw our congregation together. So, how do we carry out God's commands? He says, love one another as I have loved you. How do we address our relationship with one another? So it is like God loves us, we're to love one another in that same way. That's a challenge, isn't it? Does God challenge us sometimes with difficult things to do? Love your enemy, is that difficult? Do good to your enemy, that's difficult, isn't it? We're not enemies. We're brethren. We're striving for the same goal. We all want to go to heaven. And God says, love one another as I have loved you. And we can see God intends for us to have the good things of life. To have those things which make us, separate us from the world, and make us such that we glorify God. Do you glorify God? And you're conducting yourself like this? Do we glorify God when we're separated and joined division? It's plain to see that we do not. We're to love one another. When we talk about loving God, when we draw near to God because we love God, when we know God, this knowing God is an intimate term. It means to know Him intimately. To know what kind of character He is. To know what God wants and expects. We're to know one another. We're to draw together, not draw apart as we've done. We need to draw together. We need to serve one another. We need to love one another. We need to know one another. We need to know the strengths of one another. We need to know the needs and the weaknesses of one another. We need to know how we feel about things. We need to know how we look at different things. We need to have a knowledge of one another. We need to know one another well. How well do you know one another? You know, hospitality is one of the challenges that God said we need to show hospitality one to another. That's how we get to know one another. Do we see one another just twice a week as we gather together? Do you know one another if you do that? Can you draw near one to another if you do not know one another? We need to be mindful of the challenge that we have as children of God, is to draw near to one another, to learn one another, not be challenged by ill will one to another. That's contrary to God's will for us. In John, the 13th chapter, verse 35, is, as Jeff read it earlier, "All will know you are my disciples if you show, if you have love one for another. All will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another." That's the face that we show the world when we love one another. It's also the face that we show when we're separated from one another. The world knows that. I'm not on any social media, Facebook, any of that, but I've heard things that are said about the church at Man's Lake Road. Does it say we're drawing together? No. It says we're divided. We're splintered. We're falling apart. Are we? I say we're not. We have growing pains. We have pains. We're growing as children of God. We're trying to love one another as God has loved us. And we need to examine ourselves and our opinions, our minds. Are we going to be a family of God or not? I apologize to those of you who may not be Christians. What I've said is not to, I guess, it's not encouraging you to be a child of God. But as we examine the Word of God, we know that God loves us, that Jesus died for us, and that He desires us to be faithful children of His, that we might go to heaven. If you're not a child of God, I encourage you to examine what the Word of God has to say. Don't look at men, look what the Word of God has to say. If you're to have any hope, if you're to have any hope in this life and in life to come, you have to do what God says. If you want to be a member of God's family, God said, Jesus says, you have to believe that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and mine, and that you can be united with Him in baptism and become a child of God and have a hope of eternal life. I know these things are difficult to say, may be difficult to listen to, but be mindful. We are children of God. We're striving all to go to heaven. And hopefully, we look at ourselves and be mindful. We can do all things in God who strengthens us. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, I invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.